Hi, I'm Kaylin Amadio, and this is the Boomers Ultimate Guide Podcast, the place where boomers like me and like you can come together to learn, share, and grow a thriving business and vibrant life. Cue music.
Boomers Ultimate Guide Podcast, Episode 17.
Hi, I'm Kaylin Amadio, your Boomer host and creator of the Boomer's Ultimate Guide podcast, and I want to introduce you to today's special guest, Tara Kennedy Klein. She is a certified family parenting expert. She's a popular radio host, a TV personality, and speaker, best known as the acclaimed author of, and I love the title of this book, Stop Raising Einstein. Discover the unique brilliance in your child and you. She has been dubbed the Queen of Accountability and works with parents every day to guide them through the challenges of parenting with a recognition and understanding of what kids face growing up in today's technology-centric world. Tara also works with boomers in the sandwich generation. That's me right there. Raising their own kids and often caring for their aging parents at the same time. Tara is unapologetic in her direct realism with an animated style that embraces the issues and creates principles and guidelines that build strength in the family unit. Tara, welcome to Boomer's Ultimate Guide Podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
It's great to meet you. I feel like I know you because Tara has a wonderful live radio podcast that she does on the station that I used to podcast on. So I feel like I know you, but we've never actually met. So this is terrific.
Sisters from another radio station.
There you go. So I gave people a bit of an overview about you, and please feel free to add to that and to share with us whether or not you too are a boomer. I'm not going to force you to tell me either way. And if you're not, I'm not going to hold it against you.
I'm very close to being a boomer. I'm kind of missing the cutoff by about 2 years.
Yeah.
So, my husband and I are, you know, we're kind of in that sandwich generation situation where we're taking care of our parents and we're also raising our own children. So I get it. I used to have a radio show on a boomer network. So dealing with a lot of grandparenting issues, and I think a lot of what we deal with as parents today has a lot to do with grandparents kind of understanding what we as parents deal with today, because it's not the same as parenting 40 years ago.
Yeah, no kidding. And I bet you every generation says that, you know, the classic line is, oh, those kids today, what are they doing? We didn't do that in our day. I mean, every generation says that. But, you know, we really have seen tremendous changes in the world. And,
absolutely.
And granted, you know, the boomer generation is very large. It spans, you know, a large period of time. But still, you know, the change is just technology alone, you know, has driven so many changes in the way we live. But, you know, there's a lot of things. We waited and had children later, you know, in life than our parents did. And that alone, you know, I'm sure would have caused changes even if there hadn't been technology.
I agree. Yeah, it's true. And it's so funny because at the same time I'm trying to teach my children how to do certain things on the computer, I'm still having to try to teach my parents. You know, my husband gets twice as many requests from my in-laws to fix their computers as my kids. So we're kind of in the midst of that technology generation, as you say, too.
Sure.
So it is kind of tough.
Now, in your work that you do with families, how do you find working with boomers different, if at all?
I think the thing that makes it a lot different is the expectations of behavior and the fact that today, when we're dealing with so many diagnoses, you know, back when our parents were raising us, we didn't have that level of diagnosis. You had the quirky kids and you had the different kids. You know, we had all kinds of, you know, we had special needs classrooms, but there were only a few kids that were actually in that classroom. Now we're talking about mainstreaming kids, and you know, the kids that had that were really high energy or couldn't pay attention, they were just a problem.
Right.
Now they have a label for them, they have a name for them. So to try to explain to our parents that there really is a reason for our kids behaving the way they do, and we're trying our best, and you know, they have different ideas of how they would have handled those situations or how they would have handled those children. So we want our kids to spend time with their grandparents, but at the same time, we have to educate our parents on how to handle our kids. And a lot of them are scared, confused, they don't understand, and some of them get really defensive. So it really is a struggle to try to kind of bridge that gap between what we understand about our kids and what our parents expect our kids to be like.
Right. And I'm grinning because I mean, I've lived through all of this. Okay. Right. We were talking before the show. I have three sons. My husband's ADHD. All right. And my middle and younger boy, you know, are ADHD. Mm-hmm. My mother-in-law, I'm sure, is where it comes from. Right. So I'm grinning because when you say, the older generation is looking at how we're raising our kids and going, well, we wouldn't have treated them that way. We would have expected this discipline. And my response has always been, yeah, but they got it from you. So let go of some slack. You handed this down.
Thank you for the gift. And now you have to, right? It's like buying them a drum set and then not wanting them to play it around you. It's
exactly.
Like you gave it to them.
This didn't come out of the blue and they didn't catch it somewhere, you know,
right,
sitting on a
flu.
Toilet seat. It doesn't work that way. This was genetic. In so many cases, it was genetic, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's funny. It's my dad is ADD. I'm ADD. And it's so funny because my husband will say, oh my gosh, you're just like your father. And I'll be like, yes, I am. Just yes. Thank you for that.
Right. And it is interesting that now we do have all these labels. My husband and I went back and this is fun. If you haven't done this, do this. We went back. He's not diagnosed. You know, they didn't do that back then. And we went and looked through his grammar school report cards. And you know how the teachers, you know, they'd write these notes, you know, about sort of, you know, and we'd read them and you read between the lines and we started saying, see, this is our middle son. You're exactly like he is, right? But you grew up. And then we use that as an example too. We'll say to our son, you're exactly like daddy was in school, but look what daddy grew up and became.
Right.
Without any benefit of special classes and medications and all of these things, you know, counseling and
exactly.
The special ed programs, you know, that, you know, one of my children ended up being, you know, in special programs. So we didn't have the benefit of all of that either. So, you know,
right.
You can pull yourself along.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard.
Right. It's those, you know, if you only applied yourself, does not complete homework on time, you know, loses attention quickly.
Right, always losing their stuff.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Doesn't come prepared for class. We know.
Right.
And the thing that's so funny to me is my youngest son has Asperger's syndrome, which is on the autism spectrum.
Right.
And he's very high functioning. He's very articulate, but he has social behavioral problems.
That's
so he doesn't.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So you completely understand where I'm coming from on that one. And homework is just an absolute nightmare with him. And I have to look at him because my husband was the straight A student. You know, he was the valedictorian. I was fourth from the bottom. We know this. We graduated high school together. And so my husband will be all upset and, you know, trying to get him to focus and concentrate. And I'll just look at him and go, I get you. I totally get you. I felt exactly the same way. I couldn't stand math homework. I understand where you're coming from. And because I get to do a do-over through you, we're going to do it right this time. Because
yeah.
I know what you're thinking. So you're not going to get away
point.
With it.
Oh, I like that point of view, right? That we get to do a do-over now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like that very much. That's a great point of view. So, and it's hard for me to relate because I'm not the ADD parent, right? So I'm your husband. I'm the one going,
ugh.
I don't get it. I don't understand how your brain is working. Why are you thinking this way? Why can't you just do your homework? Why? That's what's running through my mind all the time, this litany. Why? So I don't get
but
it.
But thoughts come and go so quickly here. That's the problem.
That is too cute. So for our boomer friends that are listening or watching this podcast at some point in the future, can you share with them three tips in parenting, right? The fact that they're in this sandwich generation, but they're parenting, they might be older parents, right, than their parents were, and they might be dealing with some of these special issues that we now have labels for.
Right. The first thing that I like to say is we tend to want to stand away from the label because we don't want our children to be labeled. But what we have to realize is we're not labeling them as lazy or stupid or bad. We're labeling them with something that's going to give us a roadmap of how to deal with it. So when we're talking about something like ADD or autism, it's not so much a label as it is an explanation for certain behaviors. So what I would really recommend is to sit down, get some really good books that are entertaining and fun, you know, not stereo instructions because nobody wants to read through that stuff. But if they're entertaining and fun and they can kind of explain a little bit about where these behaviors are coming from, that's going to help everybody out in the long run. The other thing to remember is when we're dealing with our parents saying, "I don't understand why you can't just do what we did." It's really important to say, "I love you. You're my parents and I respect you. You raised me the best that you could and now it's my turn. And I really need you to respect the fact that these are my kids that I'm raising. I'll hear you, but I'm not always going to follow everything you say, just like you didn't always follow everything that you were told to do with us when you were raising us." So we need to let our parents know that we love and respect them and that we need to be allowed to make our own choices. And the final thing is we really, really need to appreciate what our parents bring in value to our kids.
Right.
When we're so immersed in technology these days and our kids are constantly staring at their phones, it's actually a breath of fresh air for our children to be able to talk to their grandparents and hear about how things used to be. Maybe get out some of the old toys that you used to play with or watch some of the old movies that you used to watch together. Go for walks together and do those simple things to get to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to bring such value to your children that to keep them separated because maybe you don't agree with ideals or you don't think they're going to handle it right is really just harming both of them. They need a relationship with their grandchildren, and your children need a relationship with their grandparents too.
Yeah. And it's nice to be able to pass those legacies along.
Absolutely. Too. You know, yes, my kids love playing on the computer and doing those things, but when they go to Nana's house, you know, their favorite activity, two favorite activities, doing puzzles and looking through scrapbooks.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, to see those pictures from way back when daddy was a baby, that's fun stuff. And it really helps them to bond together and help each other understand each other too.
Right. That's a good idea. So those are the three tips that we want to see boomers take, right, mm-hmm. in terms of their parenting. Now, what's the biggest challenge or concern that you see boomers are facing regarding parenting today?
Our nostalgia and wanting things to be the way they were when we were kids. We fight so hard to try to get back to the old that we forget that our children are living in a completely different world. Our children receive information differently than we did. And they're still kids. They still want to play. We have to be able to say as parents, we're going to unplug. For the next day, for the next 24 hours, we're going to unplug and we're going to go outside and we're going to do things as a family. We have to stop being afraid to unplug and do things with our kids.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we have to appreciate the fact that just because our kids are texting doesn't make that wrong, because how many of us stayed on the phone for hours after school with the kids that we just left being at school with.
Mm-hmm.
And the most amazing invention that we had was that 100-foot-long telephone cord that we could take from the kitchen into the bathroom and lock the door. So it's things are changing, but they're really not that different.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Kids are playing video games, but we used to cut school to go to the arcade. So are things really that different, or is the technology just keeping up with the times?
Right. That's a very good point. I'm constantly talking about communication, right, and the changes in communication in my in my business and trying to help boomers understand that communication is always going to change. It's happened generation after generation after generation. And you're going to have your preferences on how you like to communicate and how you wish everyone would communicate with you. However, yes, you cannot dictate that everyone communicate with you in the way that you prefer. And you need to get accustomed to these different things. Why not pick up a phone and learn how to text? Doesn't mean you have to text all the time, but you know how many grandparents I've run across that get such a kick out of getting texts from their grandchildren once somebody teaches them how to text?
Right?
Yeah.
And FaceTime.
Yes.
FaceTime is amazing. You know, it's what we're doing right now. How many grandparents that live in a different state weren't able to keep in touch with their grandchildren, weren't able to see their faces, you know, light up when they talk to them. And now we have the technology to do that. Right. From, you know, thousands of miles away. That's brilliant. That's the kind of stuff that we need to embrace more of.
Right.
And at the same time, get back to the old technologies of writing handwritten thank you notes. That's a brilliant thing that we still should be doing with our kids today. And that's kind of what the whole Stop Raising Einstein book philosophy is about.
Mm-hmm.
It's about daily communication and handwritten journaling with one another to find out what's going through our minds at any given time and to teach our kids those life skills and values that a lot of the older generation believes that we've gotten away from.
Interesting. You're giving me ideas based on and this would be a whole nother podcast, but a conversation I had with my middle son, the one that I keep bringing up, who's in his freshman year of college, and he was having one of those moments last night. You know, I don't have a major. It's his first semester. We're halfway through the first semester of college. But right. I don't know what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. I don't know what my major is. And we've had this conversation many times, you know, over the high school years. And the fact I keep bringing up, you know, look at mommy. Mommy has changed careers more than once. I get interested in many things. You have a very long life ahead of you to enjoy lots of things and learn lots of things. You don't have to know it all now, but yet he still gets really bogged down and all that. And I had mentioned he's not really a writer, right? So I'd mentioned maybe trying to journal, you know, like write down one thing that you're happy about or, you know, that you have gratitude for today or one success every day. It could be that you got up on your own. Here's a big one. Got showered, got in the car. We just got our driver's license. We're 19 and we just got our driver's license.
Wow.
Get in the car and you went to school, right? That is a very successful day, I think.
That's
a big win, you know, when you have trouble with all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the idea of maybe passing the journal back and forth. Maybe I can get him interested in doing something like that if it's us passing, you know, the thoughts back and forth.
It's amazing.
A great idea there.
Oh, see? Isn't that fun?
I'm so glad I talked to you today. So timely. So,
perfect.
Now that I know exactly what I'm going to do, what I'm going to get up and do as soon as this conversation is over, anyone else who's listening to us, right? There are boomers in their car and they're sitting at their desks and they're maybe working out at the gym and they're listening. So the minute that they have that spare moment, what would you have them get up and do right now, today, to start changing their lives and their children's lives and that relationship?
I would make part of what you just said. I would make a gratitude list. It's one of the things that we do in the book is 25 things that I love about you.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
So often we find the things that we want to correct or critique about each other. And we're in this judgment space all the time. So to sit down and make a list of 25 things I love, admire, and respect about you, and to share those things with someone will completely change your relationship with them and the way you see them when you look at them and the way they receive you.
I love that. I'm ready to jump up right now and go do that. I can't wait. That is such a good idea. And I think he came home while we were talking. I think I heard him come home from
college. Isn't that fun?
Yeah, so perfect. So before I let you go, what is the best way for people to get in touch with you? How can they find you?
My website is tarakennedykline.com.
All one word?
Yes.
Okay.
And you could also find me on our radio page, which is parentnationradio.com.
All right. So parentnationradio.com. Mm-hmm. And folks, I'm going to include these in the show notes. So you can always come back to the website, boomersultimateguidepodcast.com, and search for Tara Kennedy Kline or search under parenting, and you will find her and you will find this particular podcast interview. And when you go to that page, you'll find these links. All right. So, tell me again,
Parent Nation Radio.com
and TaraKennedyKline.com. Both of those links will be in what we call the show notes.
Oh, great.
For lack of a better word, so that people can find you again. And the last question I always ask all of my guests is, would you like to share an inspirational quote or a story, something to leave us with before we go?
You know, my favorite quote is, I don't even know if it would fit here, but it's kind of anonymous. It's an anonymous quote, and it's, don't complain about anything that you permit.
Okay.
And that's kind of one of my credos. There are so many, I wasn't prepared for it.
Don't complain about anything you permit. You know, we happen to be, this episode will probably come out after the election, but you and I are speaking prior to the election occurring. Mm. And I always have this art. I'm a big believer that everyone should go vote.
100%.
Okay. But there are people who won't vote. Right. And I always tell them, if you're not going to vote, then you don't have a right to complain.
And I agree.
That quote is exactly right. You're permitting things to happen by not voting, not putting your say in the ultimate circle there of what's going on. So
exactly.
I'm going to use that over the next few weeks till we get the election train, spur my non-voting friends over to the voting booth. I like that.
Thank you.
So Tara, it was lovely to meet you.
Finally. You too.
Like I said, I feel like I know you even better now. That's wonderful. And I'm glad you could take time for us today. And all of you out there, you have been learning so much, as I have, I hope, about parenting, especially from this sandwich generation with Tara Kennedy Kline. And this is the Boomer's Ultimate Guide podcast. It's the place where boomers like me and even almost boomers like Tara can come together and we can learn and we can share and we can grow. I help my clients build thriving businesses. But that's not all there is to life, of course. There's living a vibrant life. And that's where people like Tara can help you with your family and your parenting and the grandparents and the kids and
absolutely
all of that. Because if everyone's not happy at home, it's hard to be happy every place else.
That's absolutely true.
Very good. So until next time, everyone, take care. We'll see you on the next episode. Take care.
Boom, baby. That's it for now. See you next time on Boomer's Ultimate Guide Podcast.